HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis. And we have the fabulous producer, Jay, with us on the show, who I am incredibly grateful for and love that he's always on with us. Today's show is different than any show I've ever done because today's show is I'm going to be your host and I'm going to be your guest. And that is just circumstances provided that, and that is what we're going to do today. So I'm going to be the guest of the show, and we're going to do a little bit of holiday cheer. This is the season, so we're in December. We're in late December. Hanukkah just ended, and Christmas is next week, and New Year's, and we're just going to throw out some of those things that I think everybody needs to hear. But first, we're just going to start with some thoughts and some information. And it was interesting because just this morning, before I knew that the show was going to turn out this way, but I woke up early because I had to decorate ornaments for my daughter's Christmas party at her school. And I bought all this paint because I was in charge of the craft. I bought all this paint and I bought all these things and I set it up really pretty. And then I woke up and remembered that the teacher doesn't want you to bring paint to the class because it takes too long to dry and the kids can't go home with their things. And so I all of a sudden am like, you know, in that freak out mode of, oh my gosh, I was so prepared and now I'm not, and I have to basically think of some other way. And so I was up at 7 in the morning spray painting these ornaments instead of letting the kids paint them, and I had taken pictures of all the kids already this week and gone and printed them out and had them cut out and put in the ornaments. I wanted to make something for the parents that they could remember forever, and it turned out beautiful. But as I was scurrying around and making myself really stressed out this morning, trying to get everything done and done on time and get both kids to their different schools and different counties on time, I had this thought, and it was that if I have learned anything in the world from writing books, the greatest lesson that I've ever learned from writing books is that in the end, it's supposed to look like it was easy. And all the hard parts and all the sweat, the blood, sweat, and tears, and all the work, and all the things that you wrote that end up on the cutting room floor that just go away after you spend so much time even researching to get this stuff written, but it doesn't make its way into the book by the final product. But the point is that at the end, when the book finally comes out and people read it, they're supposed to think that you basically sat down and you wrote this book from cover to cover, and that nothing got thrown away, and that nothing was extra, and nothing caused tears or anger or frustration or any of the things that happen in the creative process for anything that you're putting out there. But in the end, it's supposed to look like it was easy. And I've taken that into everything that I do. So, you know, this morning I'm making myself nuts on the ornaments, but then I had to stop myself and give myself that little talk. You know what? You're going to show up. These ornaments are going to be beautiful. They're going to be easy. It all worked out. Your mother helped you. My mom had spray paint, and my mom had stickers that I think I bought for her, and my mom happens to teach at the preschool, so it was really nice. So she had stuff in her classroom for me, and everything just kind of lines up. If you stop freaking out all the time, there has to be a trust factor. And that's the same thing with writing books. And I do want to talk about book writing process because there's a lot of people that email me and ask about the book writing process. So I want to take time in this show to talk about that. But either process, any process, you have to step back and have a little faith that it's going to work out and that things line up for you. So another example was yesterday there was a book I really wanted to bring to a meeting. And I remembered where it was the last time I saw it, and then I thought maybe I put it away for safekeeping, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And I didn't just want to allude to this book because I knew no one in the meeting had seen this book, but I wanted to show them what it was because it's such an inspiring book for young readers. And I sat down for a minute, and I did a little prayer to the angels, Archangel Samuel specifically, because he's the angel of finding lost things. And so I said, okay, Archangel Samuel, please, please show me the way. Where is this book? Please just help me to get from A to B faster. And I looked on all the shelves, and I looked upstairs, and I looked downstairs, and nothing. And then I, you know, resigned to the fact that maybe this one time I didn't listen to his wisdom, and I couldn't get there, and I couldn't get the information. And I got in the car to leave, and I remembered that I left something upstairs. And when I went back upstairs, I saw another bookshelf that I had missed, and lo and behold, there was the book that I was looking for. So I do feel like the angels and spirit, they try to guide you all the time. But when we get so clouded up in our heads, we have a really tough time paying attention to their wisdom. And we tend to think that we're doing things alone, when that is never, ever the case. We're never alone. We're never doing things alone. I have, personally, a spirit team with me that guides me on every journey that I take. And it's just stepping back for a minute and calming and clearing to make space for these angel helpers or guides or however you want to talk to them to help you and to infuse the wisdom into you. But when you have so much brain chatter going on, it makes it virtually impossible for them to be able to give you their guidance and their wisdom. So all of these things were to say that I've been reminded day after day lately, because that was yesterday trying to find that book, and then this morning trying to change up my whole Christmas idea of ornaments. They still had the same ornament, and they ended up being just perfect. They're so lovely, and I couldn't have done it better. I just wish I would have done it earlier. I wish that would have come to my mind sooner. But everything worked out. So in the end, it's supposed to look like it was easy because nobody else cares about how hard it was to get there. Nobody else cares. Nobody else needs to hear it because that's exhausting. So when you put that kind of energy out and on other people, it's like slathering molasses of energy onto them and giving them your heaviness that they don't need to have. That's your work. And everybody works really hard behind the scenes, and not everybody's ever going to know what kind of effort you put in. And I learned this many years ago through one dear friend when I went to massage school and I met this person that was unbelievably smart. She'd never made a B ever in her life. She's just the hardest working person that I know. And she became my study partner. And I never made good grades in undergrad. And I would go to her house and we would study, and I'd think, cool, that's good enough, perfect, I'm ready for the test. And she would look at me and go, oh, that's it, you're done? I'm not done, I'm going to keep studying. And she would like uber overstudy, because to her, you do all the pre-work and you work your butt off so that when you do walk in for the test, it's a breeze because you did more than enough work. That is how I finally got through school. I just graduated last week with my master's degree, and I have been doing school for the last 3 years, behind the scenes, not telling people that I'm in school. I've told very few people, because why do people need to hear that I'm in school unless they ask me specifically? And I was taking one class a semester, and quite frankly, I didn't want to put it out there because I was afraid I would fail. And I was afraid that I would have to then take it back. And never mind, I'm not going to do this. Or, you know, what if I quit? Or what if I didn't do it? Or what if I'm not as hard of a worker as I thought? Because I approached this whole program going back to school as, wow, I have become a really hard worker. And I never used to be a hard worker. I thought of myself as a decently hard worker, but I always stopped at good enough. That's good enough. That'll work. Yeah, that works. That's it. That's what I would do. I would stop at that little corner. But there's a lot of other people that go way past that corner, and they work really, really hard, and you will never see how much work went into it because all you get to do is walk away and see the final product. That's with a degree, and that's with a book, and that's with a job, and that's with a program that you put together or a talk that you do or anything that you put your mind to. No one is ever going to see the real journey. And the cool thing is, they're not supposed to. They don't need to. Nobody needs to see the journey, but they do need to see the final product. So do not give up. So I'm going to go over the greatest lessons that I've ever learned in becoming a book writer. More than 10 years ago, I want to say about 12 to 13 years ago, I started writing my very first book. I had no friends that were helping. I had no advice. I had no wisdom. I wasn't in the scene. I live in Georgia. There's not people out here that, oh, I got my publisher, and I got my friends, and I got my agent. Let me introduce you. There was none of that. I just had a passion. And the reason that I had a passion was because I was going through hell, and I was going through it alone. And I had gone through so many therapists and so many people and so many healers and so many psychics and so many psychiatrists, psychologists, EMDR therapy, hypnotherapy, sweat lodges, fire walking, crystal therapy, soul recovery and extraction, soul retrieval, same thing. I went to all ends of the world to try to heal myself from very, very debilitating anxiety and panic. And I got to a place where every self-help book just started to piss me off. Because all these people that were writing clearly had not been through it, just clearly. They were like doctors or therapists, and it was like, on the other side of this life is great. Well, how are you getting to the other side? And I felt so alone. And I moved up across the country, away from my family, away from my friends. I took this dream job. I moved so far away, and I was completely alone except for my sweet dog. And I spent every night just reading different self-help books and trying desperately to find anything to hold on to give me a better life than what I was constantly living in. I was constantly living in fear. I was just, every day was a struggle to get through. I was never suicidal because my fear is I am terrified of death and dying. So I was never on the verge of going there because of that reason. So I was opposite, but I constantly was afraid that I'm living alone, I have this one little dog, what if I die and nobody finds me for weeks because nobody knows where I am and I live so far away and I don't have any friends here, and oh, and I don't get cell phone reception or even telephone reception inside the apartment, so you have to stand out in the parking lot in negative 13 degree weather in the snow. It was just, it was pure hell, and I feel like I kind of lost my mind, and I lost my way no matter what. Whether or not I lost my mind, I certainly lost my way. And so I started to write my own way up and out of my panic. And I knew somehow, some way, I was going to get this book published. But I had no idea how. And, you know, that's one of the cool things that I've learned about writing. You don't have to have the end in sight. You have to have the end goal, but you don't have to have all of your information lined up. You don't have to have all your people that are going to help you. You don't have to have what company you're going to use, because I self-published that book, and that book took me 7 whole years to write. And in that time, while I was still working on that book, I decided to write a really simple stretch book. And the only reason that I decided to write it was because I had a client who called me up and he said, I have a pulled hamstring and I've heard about you. I'll give you one shot. I want to go back to being a runner. And I said, one shot? Okay, well, clear your schedule and give me at least an hour and a half. And I worked on him for 90 minutes, and then I gave him stretches that were super basic. And that's what people miss, is the super basic things. Everybody's out to teach yoga and these really hard poses, but what about your average person, or what about your runner that has a pulled hamstring who travels all week long with work? So what I did, as I set up a little program from commercial break to end of commercial break while he's watching TV at night once he's done with work in the hotel. Super easy stretches. And he came back and he said, I just ran a race. I haven't ran anything in 13 weeks. I saw you and now I'm back. I ran a race. And he goes, the stretches you gave me were so easy that I actually did them. And I started laughing and I went, I should write a book. And he looked up from the table and I looked at him and we both went, oh, you should write a book. And by the end of the day, I had the outline ready. And that same friend of mine that I went to massage school, I called her. And I said, hey, I want to write a book. I'm going to do a stretch book. And she said, cool, I'll get my friend to take pictures, and we can go to the school nearby, and we'll go to the track, and yeah, let's do it. She was so on board. She was the only person that I knew for a fact would not put me down or question or doubt, but take me at face value and go with me. And she did exactly that. She's one of the game changers in my life. Heather, I love you. She's been in all of my books. So if you ever see my books, my stretch therapy book or The Body Heals Itself, she is one of the models in that book because she has been there from the get. So I self-published Stretch Therapy many years ago, and then I followed it up and I self-published a book called Stretch Therapy for Assisted Stretching. How does somebody who's 4'11", like myself, how would I get up on the table and stretch a football player without hurting myself? And so I did that super basic stretching of someone else. So I self-published those, and that's how I got my feet wet. I was still working on that anxiety book, but I got my feet wet from doing the stretch therapy. And I never really cared how far it would get. I sold it at massage schools. I sold a couple thousand, whatever. And then I continued to self-publish a few other books along the way. And I went to the New York Book Expo. It's called the BEA. It's the mother of all mothers of book expos. I saved up for an entire year to get a table and to promote my books and try really hard to find a publisher that would pick it up or an agent or anything that would help me in my career of now writing, which was self-published books. And they were out there. I put them out there. And they were at massage schools. And already before I hit the BEA and before it got picked up by a big publisher, I walked into one of the massage schools and my book was on display in the front. Now, my dream, my ultimate goal at that time was to walk into a bookstore and see someone reading my book. That was like the big goal. So I walked in and I see my book on the table. And this girl walks by and she goes, oh, have you read this book? It's awesome. And I looked up and I said, it's awesome? Have you read it? And she said, yeah. Oh, I love this book. I use it all the time. I keep it in my practice. This is a great book. And I looked at her, and I turned the book over to show her my picture. And I got to say, this is my book. I wrote this book. And so already my greatest dream had been realized, and it was just so neat. So I went to the BEA, and I didn't bring the stretch books with me. I brought every other book that I had self-published, but the stretch books, because I just assumed that no one was interested in that book. Lo and behold, a publisher found me from that book expo, looked me up, and found those two books. And he called me. And I mean, it's such a fairy tale, right? It's so many years into writing. And he calls me and says, what do you think about me picking up stretch therapy and the assisted stretching, and we turn it into one giant, full-color, amazing stretch therapy book, and we get it out on the shelves everywhere. I mean, it was so surreal, but it was real. And so it took me a whole nother year to redo all the pictures, but still a lot of the same models, and put it together into something really big. And so it's a comprehensive guide to basic and assisted stretching. And it was the first time in my life that I got to walk into Barnes & Noble and see my book on the shelf. It was amazing. It was so amazing. And it just felt like all my dreams were coming true. But book writing is a lot of work, and it's a lot harder than anybody tells you that it is. Even in the contract, the book ended up being printed a year later than it was set to. And I had to just sit on my hands and wait, because once a publisher has it, you're not in control anymore. You write your book, and then their editors take over, and they go back and forth with you, and you have a say, but you don't have the say. And then he sent me a cover that was so hideous. Thank God he was joking, but it was, I mean, it really put me, like, over the top to send me this wild, ridiculous cover. And I started going through all these photos. I love this one, I love this one, I love this one. And he ended up using one of the ones that I picked, and he let me help with the font and the coloring and the photo, and it was a really beautiful experience, but it was hard, really hard to sit and wait. So the next thing that book writing has taught me is patience. Patience, 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 because it takes so long for the book to come out that's supposed to look like it was so easy. And that's a really wicked process. From there, I got another publisher, and that was because of a friend of mine who was already established with that publisher let me ride her coattails in with her and be her co-author, and we wrote a book together. And she saved me. She's the reason that I became a Llewellyn author. And we wrote the book Witchy Mama. And originally it was pitched as a magical mother's guide. And it's about conscious conception, spiritually conception of a child, and raising a spiritually open, like-minded child into the world where we don't take away their innate wisdom that children come into this world with. Because if you meet any adult people that are on the spirit path, they're basically trying to unlearn everything that we pushed on them. They're trying to go back to the original things of what their original wisdom ever was. And what we tried to do in that book, we gave a lot of massage tips and yoga and spells and charms and, you know, keeping the bad dreams away and little trinkets. And it's a beautiful book. It also has, like, lactation cookie recipes to help lift your milk supply. And also, while you're conceiving, to step back and let it be a conscious conception and to make space in the ethers for that soul to come and find their way to you. So it's a great book, and she saved me. She's the reason that I ever got with Llewellyn, and then they signed on for the next book. And that is my dream book, the book that I had secretly been working on for 20 years of my life, that I knew at some point, somewhere in the world, I would write that book. And that is The Body Heals Itself, How Deeper Awareness of Your Muscles and Their Emotional Connection Can Help You Heal. That original title to that I pitched, I called it The Emotional Muscle Body. And again, you don't have the say. And it's really amazing to work with a publisher. That was such a different world than self-publishing, because you have this team behind you, and everybody on the team has the same goal for you, which is success. And I've never aligned myself with an entire team of people that all want the same end goal, for you to kick ass and take names and take their name with you. And that's what I got to experience, and I love my publisher and publicist and editors, and it has been such a beautiful process. And now I'm under contract with Llewellyn for the next book, and that will come out next fall and winter catalog. And it's been fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm not going to stop talking about book writing, because I know there are a lot of aspiring authors out there that don't know how to get started, and I want to make sure that we talk about it, and then we're going to bring in the holiday cheer for you. Don't go away. You're listening to All About Healing. We'll be right back.
podcast to help you reach your positive potential. HRNradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and it's a holiday cheer show today. It's just me. It's Emily Francis. I'm your host, and I'm your guest. And I'm hoping that a lot of aspiring authors might be listening to the show and feel inspired, because when you get started, or any goal, you don't have to be trying to write a book, any goal, anything that you've ever wished to do, and you have no idea how to do it or when to do it or how, where, and all the logistics, just please take the step and start working on it. Make it happen. Make it real. Make it come to life. So I was just before the commercial break talking about that I'm under contract with Llewellyn for my third book with them. And I've pitched the working title, but it's going to end up being something else. So I'm not even going to say what the title is at this point until it's decided and real. But the book is a follow-on to The Body Heals Itself, and it is about the multi-layers of healing and the way that we approach our healing. And again, the way that our body communicates to us. And I think that those lessons are somewhat basic, but also were missed. They're missed. And I think unless you're going down a healing path, like I had to really work hard to get myself out of the anxiety. And it took years. And I'm not saying that I'm anxiety free and that life is easy peasy. It's not. But I know how to manage it now. And I'm somewhat friends with it, if that's a decent thing to describe. I know how to live with it in a way that it doesn't take over. And I do put myself out there, and I do things that are scary. I'm on the show today by myself, and that even is something that is a little unnerving and would definitely rattle a lot of people. Things shifted. The guest that I had for today, her child took ill. It was an emergency. That's just life. Again, just what I was talking about. Nobody has to know that things were hard. They just have to get done, and it has to look like it was easy by the time that you're done. And that is one of the things. So the things that I've learned in book writing is patience. I've also learned that nobody needs to know how hard the struggle really is. They just need to see that it's done and beautiful and that it should look like it was easy. And another one is perseverance. Perseverance, because writing a book is no joke. You have to keep coming back to the same exact subject day after day after day for over a year, over 2 years, and then you got to sell it. So it takes about a year to write the book once you get a contract. So first you have to submit your book proposal, which is harder than writing the book itself. And so you submit your book proposal, and it can take 6 months. It can even take a year. But if you don't hear the no, either follow up an email or know that no news is good news sometimes. So I had to wait a really long time for The Body Heals Itself to be accepted. It sat for a long time until the editor felt like it was the right time to pitch my book. And then I got a contract, and I was given 9 months to write the book. And then I was given a year of the editing process. See, nobody knows how hard all this stuff is, and I would have never known that had I not finally made my way into the big leagues. And so you write the book, and you turn in as close to perfect as you possibly can. And then you go through round one of edits, and they change up all sorts of stuff and remove a lot of things and leave a lot of notes, and you have a couple of months to do all the work that they've asked you to do, and then you turn it back in for round two. And then you go through another full round of editing like they've never even seen the book, and we start over. Same exact process. Then you go for round three. That's a different editing team. Now you have the super finite editors. They look for totally different things than what your original editor looks for. And then you have, again, some time. And then you work with the graphic design. And then you finally get to see the title. And then you get to see what the title, what the name is. I mean, it's the patience required and the perseverance to never, ever step away and not give up and know and have faith that it's going to come true. Those are your keys. So believing that it's even possible is really hard to do, but it has to be the lowrider underneath everything that you do. And then having a whole lot of patience. And I remember I had a book proposal that we thought was picked up. It was a publisher that they basically said yes, started asking me all these questions. And then when they got to the final meeting to discuss the contract itself, they up and decided, oh, you know what, you're not a licensed therapist, so how can you write a book about anxiety? And I kept writing in the book, I'm not a therapist, I'm a person who suffered from it. I know this stuff because I've lived it, and I've lived in the trenches. And not a lot of people write from that area because not a lot of people want to be vulnerable enough to offer up that they've been through hell to get there. And a lot of people that have been through hell to get there generally just talk about getting there once they're there. They don't want to talk about how bad it was. But when you're really anxious or depressed, you want to know that you're not alone. And if somebody's writing something and they're giving you information and advice and encouragement, there's a part of you that wants to hear their story because you want to know, how bad was it for you? Because do you even compare to what I'm going through? Or did you just have a little bout of it and then boom, you're better? And, oh, hey, everybody, you should heal. I did. It's easy. It is not easy. So first you have to have the material that you want to share in a book and the passion and the drive to make it happen. Or whatever project. You know, I talk about books because that's my love and passion. And to walk into any bookstore and find your book on the shelf is the most rewarding and exhilarating thing in the world. And one of the things that I love the most is that my book is finally in the public libraries. The Body Heals Itself is picked up in 4 languages so far, and it's in public libraries. And there is nothing more valuable in the world than bringing your children in and finding their mother's book on the shelf. That is so inspiring. And it's so much more than me telling them they can do and be anything they want. I'm trying to do it too. You can do and be anything that you want if you have the tenacity, have the passion, have the drive, have the faith in yourself and in this process, and you have the patience. And things will line up if you keep showing up. But you have to show up. You have to do the work. You have to show up. And in the end, it has to look like it was easy because that's the way it works. And I can't even imagine musicians and people that tour, because I've been to some of these shows. I used to do massage to a lot of these bands with one of the big producers around here, and I would work on the bands before they would go and perform. I'd be at the big arenas. And to watch the staff come in and set this stuff up is insane, and all the sound checks and all the work that goes into it, for them to walk up on stage and make it look like it's easy. And you look at the lighting and the stage and the instruments, and you don't think about how hard it was to get there and how hard it was to set up and how hard it was to get these lights and all these different machines and all these different people that are back behind the scenes that make these 5 people or however many people are on the stage make it look like it was really, really easy. And that's the goal. If you make it look easy, you did it right, and nobody needs to know that it sucked. That the process itself sucked, because no process is like fantastic. You know, a lot of people, I try to keep a positive, upbeat presence in my life, not because I'm fake, but because I'm private and I don't need to tell everybody how hard every step was or whatever's going on in my life. And also because I live a life of tremendous gratitude, because it's the only way I can get through. That's how I saved myself from anxiety, above all things, was being incredibly grateful to simply be awake and alive, to be able to fight those inner demons and get someplace else and do something else. I did this all. My life is so different than it was. I was living on a pull-out couch at my mother's house and trying to write books and doing massage. I was literally counting heads of what bills I could pay by who I work on. It, you know, life was not easy. It was not simple. But it was worth it, right? And that's how we keep going. We're going to take another commercial break, but don't go away. We're not done with this. Let's bring in some holiday cheer next time. Next up, you're listening to All About Healing. Don't go away.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to All About Healing, and it's all about Emily today. So I'm just telling you things because if you feel slightly inspired, especially as we come across to the new year, that is the time that everybody likes to make their new goals and intentions, and it's a great time to do it. I personally do it on my birthday more so than I do on New Year's, but everybody should have a special time in their life where they take stock in their life and they reevaluate their goals. Because is everything that you're working for even what you want anymore? And if it is, great. Keep going. But if it isn't, let's take a look at what you really want in your life. Because you don't get another chance at this life, just this one. Every goal that you have, it means something. Everything that you do, this is the thing that I think a lot of people miss, is that everything matters. Everything that you do, everybody that you talk to, every place that you go, it matters. there's a timing, divine timing, perfect timing, selective timing, whatever. Timing matters everywhere that you are, everything that you do, every person that you're kind to, every person that you're a jerk to. That matters. So everything adds up. So as we're coming into the new year, let's really take stock in our goals and in our values and in our intentions. And how can you make it better for you and for your family or whoever it is that you have in your circle that you feel the most are the most important and that you're working for? Because nobody does anything just for themselves, right? I mean, there's always somebody that you want to make happy or proud. Parents, you know, anything, anybody. So as we come into these holidays, the holiday season can be really, really hard on people. This is a time that a lot of people leave the planet as the year turns, and I think you're starting to notice that. Anybody can notice that. A lot of people die towards the end of the year and coming into the new year. There's just a lot of that. From, like, Thanksgiving to, like, February, there's a huge amount of people that shift sometimes to the other side. I've noticed this. I've been watching this for years, and it just seems like the end of the year is when a lot of people lose people they love, and it makes the holidays really hard to celebrate. And who says you have to celebrate? Who says that you have to do what other people are doing? Just make it something that's yours. And to me, I switched my intentions completely, and New Year's became less of getting drunk and finding somebody to kiss, because I used to always have this thought, and I still have it, that however you ring in the new year is setting up the intention for your year to come. So whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, however you're bringing in that new year, it does lay the foundation. So the years that I spent alone and lonely and anxious and afraid and I didn't leave the house were years that I spent anxious, alone, and afraid and didn't leave the house. Then I started to make myself party, and then I thought, you have to kiss somebody at midnight because then you'll be dating this year, and then you'll be social this year. And that happened too. And then I changed up my New Year's, and I started going to these Native American sweat lodges. And they would do a sweat lodge until just before midnight, and then you would walk across the fire. You would walk on hot coals in the turn of the New Year. And what you would do is you would stand in front of the fire. These embers are burning, and you're literally looking at fire, not huge flames, but the coals have been burning all day, and they're on fire. And you stand in front of this walk. It's about 10 to 20 steps long. And the deal is that you set your intention, but not only do you set your intention, you throw all of your fear into the fire. And you have to go across straight through the middle, through your fear, to the other side. And you don't know how good it feels until you make it to the other side. But the promise that you have to make is that you never turn around and you never step off. So the second that you make that commitment to yourself and to that peace elder at the other side of that, the second that you make the commitment to all the people that are sharing the space with you, that you're going to cross this threshold and face your fears and go over, once you put your foot on that fire, you got to go. And you got to go all the way through. No turning back, no stepping off to the side, nothing. And I did this for several years. This was how I brought in my New Year's. And honestly, every single year since I started that intention, my years have gotten better and better and better. In those years, I did start to finally publish the books. In those years, I fell in love and I got married. In those years, I created a totally different life for myself. And it was in that really strong foundation of setting true and authentic intentions that you're not saying out loud. You're not telling your neighbor. You're not looking at them and going, okay, this year, these are the things that I want to do. No, no, no. You're telling it to your heart. You're telling it to your spirit team. You're telling it to your soul. You are committing yourself to go through that fire. And that fire hurts. Don't let anybody tell you. There's people that say, oh, you don't even feel it. You are lying. It hurts, but you get through it. And then when you get on the other side, it does feel amazing. And the earth is cold. The dirt is cold right when you get off the coal. And hopefully they have water there that you can put your feet in if you need to. The first year, I burned myself. And it was because I was looking in the fire. And I did something so crazy. I gripped the fire with my toes. I, like, spread my feet out and wanted to, like, really feel it and face my fears. It was, like, ridiculous. So I went way too slow, and I burned my feet. And also, they used the wrong kind of wood that year. The next year and the next year and the next year, they used the right kind of wood, and I had the right kind of mindset, and it didn't hurt at all. I finished and didn't even need the water trough at the end. I just jumped up and down, and I did it, I did it, I did it. But I feel like it changed the dynamic of what my life was going to do. because, again, like I told you, when I started self-publishing these books, I didn't have any help. They didn't go anywhere. People weren't going and buying them off the shelves, really. I just was so proud of myself that I wrote a book. But I never stopped. All these years later, now I have one of my dream publishers. Llewellyn is my dream. When I met the author that I wrote Witchy Mama with, Melanie, when I met her, she also was trying to get published with Llewellyn, and I looked at her and I said, oh, my God, I would kill for Llewellyn. That is amazing. And now I'm one of their authors, and I am so honored that they saw in me something to trust. But that's also because I worked my ass off and never stopped, never. And even getting my master's degree last week, a lot of times when I do tell people what I'm doing, it makes people uncomfortable because they take it personally. I'm working on this. I've been working on my master's. I'm writing a book. I'm under contract. I have this new show on Healthy Life Radio. There's amazing things going on. Oh, by the way, I also have two young children. So I only work when they're at school, and the second they come home, my world and my life is around my children. And then when my husband gets home, he's included in that. My world, my life is involved with my family. I don't answer the phone. I don't talk to friends. Not because anybody's asked me not to, but because that is my special time. But I know how to compartmentalize and be fully present to each and every block of my day. So when my children are at school, that's when I do my work. When my children come home, they are my love and my life and my passion, and they are my focus. And then when my husband comes home, same thing. He's my love and my life and my passion and my focus. And then trying to get us to sleep. It's being present to every part of your day will change your day. It's when you overload yourself and your thoughts and go, okay, I've got to do this, then this, then this, then this. You are like walking around in a haze because that is a lot to take in. And you have to keep looking at your phone or however you keep a calendar, and you have to know what's going on. That's a lot. You don't need to stress yourself out so much. So as we enter into the holidays and into the new year, more so into the new year, I really want to focus on the new year and the new you. And it's not that you need to be totally different. And please stop making it about your body and your, you know, what you look like and your weight or any of that. Yes, I want to get healthy too. I would love to look better. All that stuff. But I just want to be my best self, and I want to live my best life, and I want to open up enough space that opportunities can come and find me. But also, people aren't going to come knocking on your door if they don't know where you live. Right? You have to put it out there. People have to know that you live out here, that you live wherever you are, or that you are doing what you're doing. If you're a painter, maybe try to have a show. If you love to take pictures, put them out there. If you want to be a professional photographer but you have no idea how to get started, start in your house. Start with your people. Put them out there. Social media is the way of the world these days, and it can take a person who's never had their name out anywhere but has an incredible talent, and it can just skyrocket. The sky is the limit, and that is the coolest thing in the whole world. You guys, we're going to take one more break. We're coming right back. You've been listening to All About Healing. I'm Emily Francis, and we'll be right back.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and today it's all about Emily because I am your host and I am your guest. And this is the final part of All About Healing for today, and it's going to take us through the holiday season. So we're going to play this on Christmas and on New Year's because we're going to be taking a break. And also, this message is for you. So whoever is stopping and listening to this, I thank you, I honor you, and I wish you nothing but love and health and happiness and your passion to come to life in the new year because you deserve it. Every single person deserves what they're willing to let themselves have. That's really all that it is. You deserve everything in the world, but how much are you willing to allow yourself to have? And when it comes to healing, that's the same thing, that when you look at healing and you want to change your life or you are begging to change the dynamic of whatever's going on in your body, this is a very simple statement, and it doesn't mean that it's the end all, but you have to give yourself permission to heal, and that is very hard to do. So understand that you play as big of a role as anything else in your life and your body that is your mind and the allowance for wonderful things to come to you and for healing to happen for you and for your passions and the things that you believe in for yourself need to become a little brighter and louder and come to life. You are the one that can bring your dreams to life. You're the only one that can bring your dreams to life. So how are you going to approach that in this new year? Because, like I said, everything that you do matters. Everybody that you treat well or poorly matters. How you behave, things come back to you. If you don't believe in karma, man, that's a shame because it exists whether you believe in it or not. And I think it's important because if you are a really good person and you've been trying so hard for so long and where is your big break, it's coming. It is coming. Karma is not just about kicking you in the butt because you've been naughty at all. karma is also about the efforts that you put out into the world and how they come back to you, for you, in your world. So in this new year, I really hope and pray that you create your goals, figure out what really means the most to you, and follow them. You have to keep showing up for yourself. You have to keep showing up for your dreams. You have to keep reevaluating your goals and knowing that that's still the same thing you want to work for. You have to take stock in who you are and what you're about and what you want and what you're willing to do to get that and to make that happen. But you are in charge. You are the general manager of your life. Now, I still believe that spirit is more in charge than you, but you still have free will and you are part of this team. You are not in this by yourself. And understand that, because that's a really big part of your goal, is that you have to take yourself seriously. You have to follow your goals and your dreams and your passion, and you have to have the tenacity to keep showing up for the same goal day after day after day. And that is what you deserve. You deserve all the wonderful things in the whole world. And I want you to just take time during the holiday season. If you need to come over and listen to this again, if you're getting overwhelmed, if you have family there and they make you feel bad about yourself, step away. Step away. You don't get to give them permission to make you feel bad. You get to be in charge of you. You don't get to be in charge of them. But you can lead by example, and your example could be the back of you walking out, whatever. You have to take care of yourself, your emotional health, your mental health, your spiritual health, and your physical health. It all matters, and you matter. And I want you to come into this new year ready to tackle anything that comes your way and know that you deserve all the greatness in the whole world because it's yours. And while we're here on this earth, because, again, so many people leave around this time, while you're here, use it. Because I know all those years that I was anxious, I missed out on so many years of my life. If I honestly would have realized I was going to survive those years instead of dropping dead like I thought I was constantly going to do and thought I was so fragile and so unhealthy, and I didn't have any reason to feel unhealthy. My body has never failed me. My body hasn't failed me. My thoughts, my mind, my emotions, they have tripped me up. But honestly, nothing has ever failed me. It's just my fear, and now I don't listen to that. So when I do get fearful thoughts, I now say, I do not negotiate with terrorists, and you, little devil dog, coyote, trickster in my head, is a devil dog terrorist, and you are not allowed. You can still show up. You just don't get to have the say, and I refuse to get involved with you and tangle with you and let you win, and you're not going to run it for me. So now I have to switch it. You know, there's like a devil and an angel on each shoulder. You have one coyote, the trickster, that loves to scare you and make you feel like the world is closing in on you. And then if you listen soft enough, whether it's the angel or the eagle is the heart medicine. And the eagle sees from above, and it sees things in true form, and it whispers the truth. And it's harder to hear, but it always knows the way. So trust your heart, trust the eagle, trust the angel, however you would like to view it. But don't let the fear take you into this next new year. Please, I beg you, and I beg me, don't let the fear take you into this new year. We're all going to have to do things that are uncomfortable. We're all going to have to do things that make us work really hard, that the world is never going to know how hard that work was. Because, again, we're going to make it look like it was easy. That's the point of rocking something. So this time next year, I'll have another book releasing. Exactly this time next year, a new book will be out. And all of the work that I will do between now and next year when it comes out is going to be really, really intense. And it's also going to be passion-driven and beautiful. And I love the creative process. I love being in the flow. I love when spirit works with me and we write together. And I feel restless when I don't have that as an avenue of creative expression. And I'm so grateful that, again, I have another year that I'm locked and loaded into a contract and that creative expression gets to be a part of my daily life. And even if I didn't have the contract, I would have to figure out something, because now I have to, if I didn't have these things in my life, I would probably still be anxious, because that energy still has to go somewhere. It's just that now I've decided to turn the same energy that I have, because energy cannot be destroyed, and I've always run high on speedy, fast energy. But now I know how to transmute it into something that works for me and that's beneficial and that's creative and that helps other people too. And I haven't studied healing this long to keep it to myself. That's just selfish. And I don't want to be selfish. I want to be a person in this world that gives back. And I want to be somebody that you might even remember or think about. And hopefully I've offered up a little bit of wisdom or inspiration that makes you feel better for having listened to it. What I don't want you to do is feel worse. So I won't tell you all the creative process. It does get heavy, but it's also beautiful. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning 2 nights ago writing, because when Spirit knocks on my little head window and says, hey, let's get writing, I don't look at it and go, hey, can you come back in the morning? No. When that inspiration comes and the creativity comes through, I heed the call every single time. If I'm out with people, I'll pull out a napkin, I'll write the notes. I'll talk text myself and send myself an email. I will keep those notes going. If Spirit decides to infuse wisdom into me, I do not waste it, ever, because you cannot get it back. You go home and you try to write again and you go, now what did I think about earlier? Mm-mm. So I write myself notes, I talk text, I send myself verbal emails, I write little notes. And I come home and I make it all work. And I really hope in this new year that you make it work for you, because you deserve it. You guys, have a wonderful holiday season. And I know Hanukkah just ended, but happy belated Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and all the different holidays. I wish you the best. And in this new year, I send you so much love and radiant health and blessings and everything wonderful. You've been listening to All About Healing, and this was a very special episode today. We'll start back again January 2nd. I love you all. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Wednesday. Bye-bye.